Hello, and welcome to the James Market Clarity Podcast. I'm your host, Neil Kraft. And today, on episode 24, I'm joined by Dr. Fall Anita for an economic outlook update for our first quarter of 2022. Dr. Fall, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Neil.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Now, Dr. Fall, we saw increased volatility in the first quarter thanks to, you know, the Fed perhaps struggling to meet their dual mandate and certainly lots of unrest in Eastern Europe. Would you help bring our listeners up to speed on these two issues?
Sure, Neil. As you know, the dual mandate of the Fed, full employment and stable prices. The good news is the unemployment rate is at 3.6, the lowest level in 50 years. However, the second mandate of the stable price will be very hard to achieve given the rampant inflation. The war between Russia and Ukraine has exacerbated these inflation numbers, especially the energy and food components.
Now, the headlines for several weeks have been about surging inflation, or I guess rampant inflation, as you just put it. Is there an end in sight, or is this just going to remain a focal point in our news circles for a while?
This is probably going to be in the news for a while because of the higher consumer demand, the rising commodity prices, and supply chain bottleneck are fueling inflation. The government just reported that the consumer price index surged 8.5% year over year.
Wow.
A level not seen since 1981. Neil, do you know what's the top movie in 1981?
No, I you had me beat there. I was not around in 1981.
The Raider of the Lost Ark, directed by Steven Spielberg.
A classic.
Starring Harrison Ford. You know what was the top song in early 1981?
You're going to get me there too, Paul.
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. This was all 40 years ago.
Sure,
but today
sure.
Also, the producer price index, the price received by domestic producer of goods and services, increased by 11.2%. Import prices are rising above expectation. The commodity index are higher. Those are extraordinary numbers. The gap between the stated Federal Reserve inflation target of 2% is widening and increasing the pressure on the Fed to tighten monetary policy more aggressively. But there are some good news. In the last inflation report, the headline inflation is lower than consensus for the first time since last August. And also, the core inflation rate, which excludes food and energy prices, rose only 3.3%, below the consensus of 0.5. We expect the inflation to moderate in the second half of the year.
We mentioned earlier about the Fed's dual mandate, that being, one, promoting maximum employment, but also, two, ensuring pricing stability. To me, it feels like maybe an easier said than done situation, at least right now. What tools does the Fed have at their disposal, and I guess what do you expect them to do over the next few months?
Well, the Fed have several tools to fight inflation. The most often used and widely known one is the Fed fund rate. Basically, that's the interest rate banks charge each other for overnight loan to meet their reserve requirement. That's the basic rate in the economy that drives everything else. Lowering rate tend to promote economic growth, while raising rate tend to slow down economic growth. In the last quarter, the Fed voted to kick off a cycle of interest rate hike to tame inflation. At their March meeting, the Fed decided to increase rate by 25 bips, which is basically 0.25%. But today, the market participants are pricing in 4 consecutive 50 basis point interest rates hike starting this coming meeting in early May. This implies a 200 basis point, which is 2%, between now and September. This is the most significant increase since 2000. Historically, the Fed raised interest rate by 25 bips at a time.
Now, Dr. Fall, do you expect there to be a shock, or like you mentioned, you think it's a little bit priced in already?
It's already priced in. I think the market has a price in already all this. The secondary tool they use, and bit less frequently, is the level of assets held by the Federal Reserve, which is sometimes called the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. During COVID, the Fed bought a massive amount of treasury notes and bond mortgage-backed security. This was called the quantitative easing. This was a way of adding more liquidity to the market. Now they are shifting to something called the quantitative tightening, where they try to decrease the balance sheet by just under $100 billion per month beginning in May. The Fed is really in a difficult position, trying to engineer a soft landing. The objective of attaining a neutral rate, basically a rate that is neither accommodative nor restrictive, become more difficult because of runaway inflation. Market participants today are concerned that the Fed policy tightening too fast and too much may create something called stagflation. Stagflation is we have economic stagnation and high inflation.
Gotcha. Okay, so it sounds as though you still believe we are mid-cycle, technically, for economic growth. But are there any warning signs of that growth slowing down? Are there any maybe indicators that are suggesting that position?
Well, we see a number of our indicators suggesting we are still in the mid-cycle. For example, retail sales, consumer consumption, manufacturing in both durable and non-durable goods, loan growth, looking strong. All these are indicators that we are still in the mid-cycle. However, we are beginning to see early warning signs that we are further along within the business cycle. Commodity prices are soaring, inflation is running much hotter than before, and some areas like agriculture and energy have gone parabolic in part due to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We see consumer confidence remaining low, and also the rising price are putting pressure on household consumption.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue into my next and final question is really surrounding the consumer. What type of shape is the consumer in? You know, we know that they represent about two-thirds of our domestic economy. You just mentioned confidence is low. But how is the consumer doing, I'd say, overall?
Well, needs the consumer in very good shape. Huge saving, healthy balance sheet, and also have a lot of cash to spend. Around $18.2 trillion in commercial bank deposits. That is $1.8 trillion higher than before the pandemic. The labor market is very good. Job growth is strong, and wages are rising. All these are showing that the consumer is really in good shape.
Do you see, you know, you talked about consumers spending, they have cash to spend. Do you see any, differences in maybe who is doing that spending from a generational standpoint, or is it people in the workforce? Is it retirees?
The latest information that we get from the Visa Momentum expense saying that the older people are spending more than the younger ones. And I think there is a lot of pent-up demand. You can see it, for example, in airline bookings. You can see it in restaurant spending. I think there is a lot of that going on.
Excellent. Dr. Fall, thank you so much for your time and your insights. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
If you have any questions about our economic outlook, wealth management, or our Market Clarity podcast, please visit us at www.jamesinvestment.com for more information. James Investment, your future, our purpose.